episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean.
We're here.
And we're here again.
We're here to tell you about another book. Dun, dun, dun. Book, 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 comic book. That's going to be on my album.
That's a good.
Did you like that?
It's a good song, actually.
Yeah, I can't wait till I auto-tune it.
Maybe we should put that as our theme song. I think maybe it could be...
Book, book, comic book. That's our song.
Yeah. I think that might be another hit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's going to go straight to number one. Watch out, Beyonce.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be good times.
Mm, yeah.
We are just going to do... one book today. We're actually going to do one story from a book.
It's a longer book,
and it is by request, and you know, it's kind of nice because we actually can come back to this one in the future, you know, if we choose to. But you know, this is by request. We're going to do a what if for our buddy Russell.
Well, I should probably read the thing.
So, but we did get a correspondence from Russell.
And it's from Russell. So let me read it.
And actually, I think I got... Well, go ahead and read that. I've got Twitter.
All right, this is from our friend Russell Bragg, a host of the DC Comics Presents show, which is on hiatus at the moment, but we'll be back soon. So he says, hello, hi. Some notes for last episode.
Yes.
Despero was turned into a fetus and had to grow up all over again.
So right after I read that line,
I was like, this is the best email.
It's the best, and I went, nope. Not into this story.
So last week, if you didn't hear, we read a story where Despero had been taken over by L. Ron Hubbard, the android. So we were talking about like how that happened. So of course we don't do research. Russell helps us out. He says, so Despero was turned into a fetus and had to grow up all over again. The fetus was given to traitor Manga Khan in exchange for his servant robot L. Ron. Once re-aged, Despero escapes Manga Khan and goes to Earth looking for the Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
A desperate Green Lantern Kilowog and L. Ron use the slave collar Despero still wears to switch minds with L. Ron, with the diminutive robot's body being destroyed shortly afterwards. So that means Despero dies. Because...
Well, his conscience dies.
Yeah, because it was in the...
It's in the robot.
The robot. Elrond reappeared still in Despero's body and had a number of adventures with the Justice League Task Force and Justice League International. I remember your Frog and Scorpion story being told on Robot Chicken, and I believe I remember that too. It was actually in the Gilmore Girls as well.
So oh yeah, no, it's been
around.
It's been everywhere.
I can't help you with Batman's blind Batcave assistant. I saw him actually in another Detective Comics I was reading today, but he didn't get a name mentioned. He was just standing there.
Yeah.
But I do know the name of...
Standing there sadly blind. And
yeah, and hunchback.
Hunchback and Bruce just being like, here's an Arby's wrapper. Like, here's an Arby's wrapper I found. Why don't you eat?
He's like, lick the juice off this for your meal. gross. But I do know the name of Jack Edison, who built the Batmobiles for Batman in the Bronze Age. Jack was a former stunt driver who Batman saved from a horrible, quote, fiery accident. There is a Ray's Pizza.
Quote, fiery.
It's in quotes.
I know. I just like, it's like horrible, quote, fiery. I'm not making fun of you, Russell. I just like the way that was put. I just like the way that was like, quote, fiery, quote, deadly, a.k.a. doom, accident.
There is a Ray's Pizza, but I don't think the hero, the Ray, had anything to do with it.
No. I mean, unfortunately, I think it's the original Ray's in New York.
Yeah, I don't think that has anything to do with the Ray being a pizza boy.
It should have.
Absolutely.
If it was like a thing where it just he capitalized on that in the DC universe, was still making pizzas.
That'd be awesome.
You know, he's just like, you know what? I'm giving up the superhero business, because he's kind of like semi-retired now too.
Yeah,
the Ray is. Yeah.
Well, that's what happens when you found out that your dad lied to your mom and told you he.
It's a lot to cope with.
Pizza boy, your entire life.
He's in therapy a lot.
He's got to be going to therapy for like hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed your comic. Cliffhangers like that always make me want to know more. I presume Gypsy survived. Me too. You both are good storytellers. Oh, ooh, thank you.
We are. Yes.
You had my attention up to the end. I wanted to ask
up to the end, and then he said, "Fuck it." He said goodbye. No,
turn this shit off.
Thank you.
No, we're just kidding. I wanted to ask Jen if she had heard of the Lonely Hearts Romance Comics podcast. I have not.
Well, now you did.
Now I did. You had mentioned your love of romance books in the prior episode. They haven't put out an episode in some time, but it's a very good show. They even act out some of the stories. I did come up, which that sounds fantastic, and I have to listen to it now because, like I said, I want to be the person who like has all those comics.
Yeah,
they're terrible, but so good at the same
time.
Yeah,
yeah. It's hard to find those because, like, usually when usually when I come across those, when we're looking at them. They're always like really desiccated.
Well, yeah.
You know, like somebody just like, you know, use them to like wipe, you know, dry their car. You know, yeah, or something.
Somebody else and they're like, I gotta dry my VW bug. Hand me that romance comic.
But not in the sense that they had to dry it, you know, because they were actually washing it. Somebody like threw like
A Coke on it?
Like a Coke
or a milkshake.
Or Varp, you know, somebody threw up on it. Like somebody had it parked and they're like, you know, it's like the '70s and somebody's like, fuck, all I got is this. Damn, disco kids throwing up in my car.
Damn, disco kids. I was just imagining somebody driving by and throwing a milkshake at a VW bug. And then you use a romance comic to clean it up.
That's what you keep in the back of a VW bug.
Yeah, I mean, what else would be back there?
I got all these Lonely Hearts comics.
It's just there is a VW bug somewhere that's filled to the brim with romance comics.
No, well, the people that do this podcast are going to need to get a handle on that. They're going to have to start looking in bugs.
They are.
VW bugs.
And then he says, and then Russell says, where did it go? Oh, I did come up with a comic reading idea for you.
Mm.
Ooh, this is fantastic. No particular issue, but I love What If. If you have any in your collection, maybe you could do one in the near future. Guess that's all this time around. Thanks for the show, Russell Bragg, host of the DC Comics Presents show. So thank you, Russell. And we are actually going to go ahead and read a What If today.
Yeah, I got some What If books. By the way, Russell did email us at worstcollectionever@gmail.com.
Yes, because that's where anybody can email us.
You can check us.
It's amazing. If you put in that address, we'll get the email.
Yes.
It's amazing how that works.
Yes, he's been very loyal to us. And thank you, Russell, for supporting the show. And, you know, check out his show, the DC Comics Presents show. And, you know, keep it, you know, even though it's on hiatus, you can listen to all the past episodes.
Listen to the past stuff.
You got to decide. Now it's time to binge.
Binge listen. Binge. Who doesn't want to do that?
I did get some tweets, by the way.
Oh, tweets.
I have a tweet from our buddy Nick, Lanet360. At Lanet360 on Twitter, he says, with regard to not having a spleen.
Oh, that's right. Because we talked about spleens.
Yeah, Nick says, yes, you can live without a spleen.
Yes.
I had mine removed in 1996. It's a big part of your immune system.
Oh.
And, you know, Nick obviously is doing okay because he, you know, doesn't have a spleen. But,
yeah,
you know.
Well, I remember Peter Forsberg of the Avalanche getting his spleen removed after, believe, some sort of horrible on ice collision.
Yeah,
because it like made it bleed. I don't know what happened. Hockey is very violent.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember when I was younger, living in Colorado, Peter Forsberg had to have his spleen removed because he fucked it up on the ice.
Back in the day, in high school, in grade school, did you ever do this when you had to like lay down on the floor and somebody drew the outline of your body and then you just drew all the body parts in it?
No.
Oh yeah, that's what we did.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, I did that. You know, we did that in fifth grade. And then we put them up in the hallway.
Oh, that would be
so
fun.
So everybody walked down the hallway and you could see, like, the body and how people discerned, you know, what the body parts are and stuff like that.
Oh.
And I remember the spleen being yellow.
Ew.
Yeah. The spleen was yellow, you know, and then you had your other parts. And you colored.
It's just such a weird word. Spleen.
Yeah. But apparently, yeah, but Nick says
but
that...
But you can live without it. Because I think it, like, filters blood, no? Maybe. I don't know what it does.
Well, it helps with it. It's a part of your immune system. It keeps you, you know, it's something that probably, I'm not a doctor.
We don't do research. Yeah. We also went to art school.
Yeah, Nick actually does follow up here. He says, yeah, just supposed, because I asked him, he says, I hope you're well. How are you doing? I was curious. I forgot what I asked him, but he says, good to know, but I hope you're doing okay, Sanjors. And he says, just supposed to get a flu shot every year and something about a pneumonia vaccine. I don't know. Oh. Which kind of worries me, Nick. You better go get the pneumonia vaccine.
Yeah, I didn't realize there was a pneumonia vaccine, but...
Well, he probably needs it because he doesn't have a spleen.
Well, I don't know. But you should definitely get a flu shot.
Go get some health, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you are, and I'm certain you are, because you are cognizant of this on here. Yeah. So I am trusting you are going to continue to be healthy, because I want you to keep listening to our show.
Yeah. Oh, and, absolutely. You know, yeah. I get my flu shot every
keep listening year. To the podcast. Nick is a podcast advocate.
That is true. He listens to all the podcasts.
He is a podcast advocate, and you should all be like him. He also was very supportive of our Kickstarter.
Oh, the Kickstarter we talk about starting that we'll probably never start, but we think about it.
But
all
at
the
one
time.
Point, yes, he said, do that Kickstarter, and he gave me a little
where I want to like tweet. Just travel the country and go to comic book stores.
Yes.
I say we do it.
Yeah, I think we should do it. He says, shut up and take my money. So
sweet.
Maybe when I figure that out, we will. And also, our buddy at Comic Reflection was very... he was appreciative of our... He said, thank you for the kind words on this week's show, which you're welcome, Nick. Or Comic Reflection.
Yes.
Yes. At Comic Reflection on Twitter. And he also provided us with a nice little meme picture.
Yes.
And it's
This is when you were talking about how you were going to put together a tight five of fished-based
it was
comics.
Fish, it was Atlantean Andrew Dice Clay. Although
that's
I was thinking that...
Andrew Fish Clay. I remember this.
Although I did think that... I do think... I was thinking about this. If Andrew Dice Clay... was in Latveria, I think his act would be Andrew Doom Clay.
Probably.
And what the way he would look is he'd just be a dice, but he would have the Dr. Doom mask, but like just the mask and the hair, and he would, you know, still do the bit, you know.
Yeah.
But,
well, you know,
but
he's quit smoking now, so he just carries.
But he would have like
around.
The same like vest. Instead of it being like black, it would just be like green. You know, it would be color.
Well, there you go. That's what you can do for
that's
your
a good cosplay.
That's when you do your comics.
Comics doing stand-up?
Yeah, that. Well, it's got a name.
Comics on comics?
No, it's not comics on comics. It's comics and comics.
Comics and comics?
It's so close to what the comics on comics. I was always confused.
Andrew Doom Clay?
And usually at the same time. It was very confusing.
But Nick sent us a picture here that says Dr. Doom, and it's a picture of dice in the middle. And it says, Dr. Doom, more like Dr. Blow Me. And he says, thank you for the kind words on this week's show. And I go, did I say
you
that?
Did.
And he's like, you did. I've been laughing about that line for over a week. That is a very good line. I agree. At Comic Reflection.
You are hilarious.
On Twitter.
There
I
you
am
go.
Very funny. And I also got a nice comment on Facebook with somebody. I had a few people respond to the... because I don't want to open up Facebook. I just don't want to open up right now.
No, it's best that you don't.
I'm about to. But I got some nice comments on Facebook about the show, because somebody was like, is this Mark Quaid's run? And I was like, yep. You know? Or Mark Quaid. Mark Wade. Not Dennis Quaid. Mark
is,
Wade.
Is he a long-lost Quaid brother?
Yeah, he's Randy Quaid's son. Mark Wade.
Which is the one who was on the run from the government?
That was Randy Quaid.
Yeah.
No, Mark Wade is he was writing Justice League Task Force, and Mark Wade, of course, is known for a lot of great things in the comic industry. And Justice League Task Force
is just one of those
was a thing he did. Which,
you know, I think that's the thing. If you have a career as long as some of these people have had, you are going to have those moments where you're like, that's a thing they did.
Oh yeah, no.
Not everything can be perfect.
I get annoyed by it though when like TV write like people that are like comedians that you know go on to like write for TV and do stuff and they have like these things where they're like, oh man, I wrote on this show and it sucked. You know,
maybe the show experience of writing on it, maybe it did suck.
I guess it did suck, but also, I mean,
maybe whatever they wanted to do, they didn't get to do because the network or the showrunner or whatever. So I mean, of course, there's going to be things where it's like. It's not what I want to do, but I'm getting paid for it because it's my job.
Yeah. I just kind of like, I'm like, well, shouldn't you be happy that you're writing on TV?
No, I think they are. I think the thing is like, there's a lot of those things. Like, we were watching something today. Where
TV writers should be more like Louis C.K. when he's talking about how everything should be awesome, you know?
Yeah. But, I mean, I we were watching that thing today where it was like, here's 10 movies that... these really big stars don't want you to remember, and they were all like movies at the very beginning of their career. So
true.
Of course they were shitty horror movies and, you know, just weird low budget shit because everybody has to start somewhere.
That's
so
true.
So I'm just kind of like, I'm not gonna be like, oh my god, George Clooney was in the Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. How dare he?
Let me say this. I do not think that NXT's Wonnie Lorcan will cop to the fact that he was in my short film Smark.
That's true. He was in your show.
He is front and center.
He is. And who does he play? Does he play?
He plays Biff Busick, which was his character on the indies for years.
Yeah.
And he...
That's right. Sean made a movie about wrestling guys.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, if you ever... Yeah, look.
That was your... That's what you
I kind of go like a year or so without mentioning it. And then I mention it and nobody cares. And
you did it, though.
But I did it. I made a short film.
You did make a movie and it was about wrestling.
About wrestling. It starred Ted Arcidi.
It did.
And it starred a few...
Who was at one time the world's strongest man.
He was, yes. And he once had a very...
Who is an awesome guy, by the way.
Yeah, Ted Arcidi is wonderful. He's a wonderful man. And he's had... He's a forgotten part of wrestling history, in my opinion.
He didn't wrestle that long.
No, he didn't.
He
wrestled for literally like 3 years.
Yeah.
3 or 4 years. Like tops. Like not even just WWF. Like he wrestled like, you know, like maybe in Puerto Rico for like a minute. And like Stampede. And then like World Class. And then he just like retired, and now he sells exercise equipment in New Hampshire. And I haven't talked to him in a minute, but he does acting. That's obviously
that's right because he was in the town.
Well, he was in the town, and
like,
he was always
in like the background. He was like a security guard.
He was
a security guard in the town,
but in the fighter. He was a promoter.
That's right. He was a promoter.
He was a very sweaty fighter. It was a very sweaty promoter.
But that's perfect for the promoter.
Which I'm like, you know what? He is probably the best role. He had a very good intense scene with Christian Bale.
Yeah.
You know, and Marky Wahlberg and Melissa Leo. They're all there.
Because like in the town, he's just like the guy who lets
Ben Affleck
into the place to see the other guy.
Like, yeah, go there.
And then didn't he have a role where he's like. In that movie with Robert De Niro, where
he was in
Paris,
yeah, the family,
yeah,
I haven't seen that.
He was just like some guy in the background of that.
I think he did make the back of the DVD cover. There's a picture of his, you know, picture of him.
That's exciting because he was supposed to be like their bodyguard or something.
Well, he's not a bodyguard. I think he's like a crook or something.
I don't remember. We never saw that movie.
He's like a henchman. He's like a featured henchman.
Okay, yeah.
So, which I mean, look, Ted Arcidi, if you're listening, which I know you're not.
Yes, Ted listens to this podcast.
But if you do, you know, I hope you end up in Gotham.
Oh my God, why is Ted not in Gotham? Because he's perfect for Gotham.
Ted Arcidi is like he should have. He could have played Michael Chiklis' role.
Absolutely, 100%.
I mean, you didn't have to pay that much to have Michael Chiklis come in and go.
You could have just had Ted do it, and it would have been awesome.
You could have just had Ted Arcidi just show up and just throw people out the window, and I would have believed it. I mean, I believe in Michael Chiklis. Michael Chiklis looks, you know, terrifying.
Oh, yeah, except also he has a dad rock band. Let's not forget Michael Chiklis' dad rock band.
Yeah, yeah. Here's the thing. One of these people has a dad rock band, one of these people doesn't. So,
if you put David Duchovny, Michael Chiklis, and Ted all in a room, two of those three people would have a dad rock band.
Yeah. Yeah, I would.
And also Scott Patterson from Gilmore Girls has a dad rock band.
Too many dad rock bands, guys.
Right, so many.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we've come to. But yeah, I got somebody said it was on Facebook, one of the groups I posted it in. Somebody said that it was very funny and it's hard to eat listening to this because it was so funny. And I'm like.
Because we are disgusting.
Oh, yeah, we're hilarious. We are so.
Oh, my God, so funny.
Off the wall,
except
guys.
Except not really funny.
I don't know.
I amuse myself.
I do this to amuse ourselves. I say this to pop you, to make you be like, oh, that's funny, you know.
That's really the thing. We do it to make each other laugh, and that's just pretty much it.
And if you guys are laughing too, then we are very grateful. Win. So, yeah. So we'll. I guess we'll take a break.
All right.
And we'll play some promos, and we'll come back, and we'll do one of the stories from our What If this week. So stick around.
Hey, Gene. We should do a podcast.
Sounds like a great idea, Jeff, but what will we talk about?
How about a superhero that we both love?
Perfect. Someone like Thor or Captain America?
Both great choices, but I think they're being covered by somebody else already.
Wait, I've got it. What about the Protector of the Universe?
Like Voltron?
No. The guy with the jewelry that lets him create whatever he wants.
Green Lantern, nice.
Close. No, this guy has cosmic awareness.
Captain Marvel?
Almost. I mean, Quasar.
Ah, Quasar. Who doesn't love a good Quasar?
Tune in to the Quantum Cast, covering all things Quasar.
Yes, that's right. You can find us at quantumbands.blogspot.com.
And on the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Network.
All right, we're back here on Worst Collection Ever, and it's me and Jen. We are here to bring you our book for this week. It is What If, Volume 1, number 37, from February 1983. So we're going to do this. This is by request by our buddy Russell.
Yeah, and we're not going to talk about the whole thing, just because it's long.
It's kind of long, and here's the thing. I have a few what if selections. And actually it kind of came up this week where I was like, I wanted to do something Marvel from the 80s, and yes. I had this and I figured we'd bust this out. I have another one that I could have did, but it's actually like, well, first of all, the book is really beat up, and then like the second one is something about, it's like I think about like if the what if the Avengers sucked or something. It's something about them getting beat up or something, and it's really confusing. Because it's one of those ones where it's like, if you didn't read the initial story or something like that, then you're kind of lost. And I was like, I just knew that was going to be a bummer.
Yeah.
Actually, most what-ifs are kind of bummers.
Yeah.
This one doesn't necessarily...
This one isn't totally a bummer.
The other story's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, well, the one we're going to talk about, which is the first story in the book, is not a bummer as much. But we were going to try to read Shana or Shauna.
Oh, well, where we go. Well, let me finish my point about What If real quick.
Yeah.
So I have, because we did a What If a couple, about like 6 months ago or something like that.
Was it the Death's Head one?
It was the Death's Head one where everybody dies.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That one was delightful.
Everybody died. Yeah.
Everybody died. I also have a Captain Marvel. Is what if Captain Marvel had lived? And like, and if he does live, everybody ends up dying anyway.
That's right. Everybody else dies.
Everybody else dies. That's how that went. Spoiler alert. What ifs are big downers. So, and then we were going to read. So we went to one of our favorite stores around the neighborhood.
Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction in Culver City.
Yep, great store.
And they actually...
Very large selection.
Yeah, very large selection. If at some point, I'd highly recommend it. I mean, I love all these stores around the area. Yeah. And if you go to... And this one actually surprised us because they had 25-cent books.
Yes. And here's the cool thing about Pulp Fiction is a lot of times they do... They have like a little section where you can bring like your used trades and stuff. And then they'll sell them at like... half off, sometimes up to like 80% off, so you can get some like sweet, like nice trades for cheap.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, no, they're good. Yeah, they're a good store, and they
always have dollar boxes.
They always have dollar boxes, and they had a good selection of 25 cents off. I really pumped up some holes. That didn't make any sense.
No, that made no sense. I don't know what you're talking about. Pumping in holes.
Pumped in some holes.
Confused.
I really filled in some holes for my Guy Gardner collection.
Spackled.
Spackled a few spots in the Guy Gardner collection, because that's a thing I'm doing.
Yeah.
So we got, and we were gonna buy, read a Kazar. Is it Kazar or Kazar?
Kazar, I think.
I don't know,
but
I can't remember.
Really,
if we
Kazar. It's about his wife, which is Shana.
Again,
I don't know.
So Kazar, it was Kazar the Savage, and then this one was about Shana.
Yeah, it's her own.
The She Devil, but. Yeah. What happened was, it's like we came in from this issue where Kazar was...
Everybody's dead.
Kazar was dead.
And it's just about her being sad.
She is sad and vengeful and angry.
And
the
then,
lion
like,
gets her.
Is it
Zabu?
Killed.
Zabu gets killed, unquote.
So, like, all she does this whole thing is, like, find out that everything she's ever loved is dead, and it just, it was a bummer.
She throws a lot of coffee on the ground.
She makes up with Peter Parker, which is like, what?
Yeah, Peter Parker.
Obviously, she is stricken with grief.
Yeah.
That is the reason you make out with Peter Parker. You're like, I am just so sad, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm gonna kiss this idiot.
Yeah, Peter Parker's trying to do something.
It's one of those, like, make me feel alive moments, and you're just like, don't, no, step away.
Feel dead.
Continue to feel dead, because you do not want to feel that.
Yeah, it's just very intense.
It was a downer.
And I was like, and this is like, the second Kazar book, Kazar book, like just Kazar solo series book that I've read that I've been let down by. Because there's another one we had where he's in it and he's getting like, it's just boring and he's getting like tested at a facility.
It's really upsetting.
It's upsetting. And I'm like, I don't care about this. And he's kind of a loser. He was in one of the Iron Man book that we did.
Yeah.
a couple months ago with Chris Mancini.
Yes.
And it was the one where he went to
his house in L.A.
No, he went to visit Tony Stark, I think, in L.A.
Well, he did. Yeah.
Yeah, because he was like having like a like sowing his wild oats
because
like
his chick was supposed to be pregnant.
Yeah,
so he was like, oh my god, I can't possibly handle fatherhood. So he like ran away and like got into a barefoot fight
in a diner.
It was really weird and just upsetting.
Yeah. So you know what? We're gonna just go ahead and uplifting what if story. So what if number 37? What if volume one? Because there's volume two came out in the late 80s. But what if volume one from February, number 37 from February 1983? And on the cover, we got three stories here. First story, it's a split.
Mm.
So it's kind of, you know, you have half of one face and half another. So it's what if the Beast and the Thing continue to mutate?
Yes.
And we see the Beast looking all feral. Mm-hmm. On one side, and we got Ben Grimm on the other side looking all crusty.
Mm,
and then at the very bottom, you even have a third story where it says, plus, what if the Silver Surfer lost the power cosmic? Well, I'm going to assume he probably would be fucked.
Yeah, I guess it's just gonna, you know.
I'm gonna answer that.
He'll die in the vacuum of space. The end.
Obviously, he loses it, and he goes, ah, shit,
it's
dead.
Like three panels. You're like, oh, he died, okay.
It's just him on his board, and he's like, I have the power cosmic. No, I don't. Dead. And the Watcher's like, yeah, that was a short one.
That was fun.
So basically, the What If books, the Watcher shows up in the beginning. He's like, well,
I have questions about stuff.
I have questions about stuff, and like, I get to see other things and like alternate realities. But it's not like DC where we actually like write stupid books about these things.
Right. It's not like a multiverse. It's not an Elseworld. It's not Earth 2.
It's not All Star Squadron or whatever it is.
Whatever.
It's just
on,
a
whatever.
Book that you're just gonna have to deal with this, and it's not canon. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and he shows up and he tells us about it. And basically, the premise, the first story that we're gonna talk about this week is, what if the Thing continued to mutate?
Oh, shit.
And so basically something happened where...
So the Watcher's like, oh man, Ben Grimm, probably the saddest creature I can think of. Like,
yeah.
He just really feels bad for Ben Grimm because he's a giant rock monster.
Yeah.
Who wears panties.
So he's a modest rock monster.
He has it's nice, you know.
He wears underwears.
He's covering God's shame.
So basically what happens is we get a little backstory about what happened in Marvel 2-in-1 number 81, where basically Ben was infected with a highly radioactive strain of like this new virus, Virus X.
Yeah.
Virus X. Because basically what happens is he gets captured by MODOK.
Yes, and he gets put into a bubble, kind of like somebody putting a little dome on top of a cake.
Yeah, it's kind of like
it's a cake dome.
He's like one of those trouble bubbles. He goes,
yeah.
Pop.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Remember Trouble?
Yes, I do. The game Trouble, yeah. Yeah, or he's like in a little terrarium where you grow, like, you know, little plants and stuff. Like, he's just under glass.
Yeah, it's Ben under glass.
So they like, put him in the thing, and MODOK is like, you know, I'm evil.
I'm evil and I got this virus, and he's
so
like,
I'm gonna see what happens if I like expose you to it.
Yeah, because he's, you know, he's basically, you know, he's a scientist, you know, he's a big brained evil scientist.
Yes,
you know?
MODOK.
Who becomes a lady later.
So he gasses him with this virus, but then the Thing goes back to his buddies.
Mm-hmm.
And they put him on kind of what looks like a giant sewing machine. And Reed Richards uses his like very long arm to like make it zap him. I don't know exactly what he does.
You think he would just be able to do that from a regular panel?
Right, don't you think?
I always feel
like he's gotta like draw like 8 feet, extend his arm.
Reed Richards is always showing off.
Yeah, he's kind of a jerk. So he's trying to see what's going on with Ben Grimm, and he's like, oh, I can feel it. Like, I feel really shitty. I can feel this thing mutating me.
And I'm becoming uglier.
I'm becoming uglier. Oh, God. So he's like, I got to get out of here.
But just as though he's about to, like, say fuck it and get out.
Right. He runs in.
Giant Man. Because Giant Man's there.
Yes.
Bill Foster.
Yes. And honestly.
Black Goliath. We can call him Black Goliath, too.
But they call him Giant Man here.
Well, he's like a million names.
Yeah. And he is drawn pretty much like Power Man.
No, he's not.
No, he like his outfit. You could see it on Power Man. It's kind of like a 70s thing.
I mean, like, it's definitely
he's
is.
Got,
I,
like the chest open.
He's got the weird. He's got the weird like things, like the open vest,
like the real V neck.
Yeah, he's got the deep V, and he's got. But he does have his mask on.
Yeah.
You know, but so Giant Man, basically, if Giant Man's like, you know, Bill Foster's like a very good scientist too. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, basically he's like, look, we need to like continue to fight this, and we need to get the antidote, and you know, you can't let it down, and you know, and Ben Grimm's like, look, I came too far, you know, I came too far, I'm not gonna give up now. So right. They basically they go back to, you know, where MODOK is, and they slap a bunch of people around. What?
Ben doesn't go. Oh no, Ben does go. Yes, Ben does go. You're right. That's right, because he goes back later.
Yeah, Thing joined Captain America and Giant Man in a desperate search for the antidote to Virus X.
Okay.
So they go back and they find a gun, because also at the same time, Giant Man is also like, he has this really bad radioactive poisoning.
Every time he's like, he gets big and it really takes a lot out of him, and it like accelerates his poisoning. So he also needs some sort of antidote so he doesn't die.
Yeah, and so basically they find the antidote, and there's only one dose enough to use it. Even though this doesn't make sense later.
No, it doesn't make sense later.
It just happens to be very convenient.
Of course. Always convenient.
And you know, and he's like, well, there's only a little bit in here, but I got to use that on Ben and save Ben, and you know, Ben gets better. I do like this way that it's like, so he gets better, and then like the way that so and you know, those watches like, well, Giant Man's noble sacrifice rescued the Thing, and from what was certain death, and returned him to his more familiar Rocky state, and it just has like this picture of Ben just like, yeah.
Oh, but this is sad. This is what actually happened in the book.
So this is what actually happened.
Oh, because I was like, they go and he's not with them later. Okay.
No, this is what actually happened. Okay, this is what happened in Marvel 2-in-1 number 19.
Okay, so we're doing a recap. So yeah, so he saved Ben. That was great.
So the Watcher's like, yeah, but you know what? There's like,
what if that
the
didn't happen?
There's a multiverse, and
there's a multiverse.
Here's Earth ass. I'm gonna go here,
which is where we live now.
Where we live now.
Yeah.
So he goes. So he's like, okay, well. So he goes back to the point where Ben Grimm is getting the pep talk from Bill Foster, and he's like, "Fuck this shit. I'm ugly. I'm gonna go, and like, I'm harmful to everybody."
Yeah. So he like punches him in the face. Yeah, he punches.
He has a very like Tommy Wiseau kind of freak out.
Yeah, he's like, I've had up with this world, and he like punches Giant Man in the face, and he like takes off, gets on his little crotch rocket scooter thing.
I love his little crotch rocket scooter. I love that he just has this little like putter thing. He's like, because it's like, because
it's like Orion's thing. It's
but it's also, but he also like, he kind of needs it because he's like
a rock monster,
and he can't sit in the Fantastic Car.
No, probably because he puts too much weight in the car, and it fucks things up.
So he has a little scooter, and he's like,
because I mean, he's a solid rock. He's got to weigh like 500 pounds.
Yeah, he weighs more than that probably,
right? He's like really heavy.
Yeah,
so he like gets on his little scooter, he's like beep, 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 and he like zips away, and like as that's happening, his girlfriend Alicia,
yes,
the blind girl,
mm-hmm.
is just like, can't,
the Ben is not here, and I love him.
So cute. Like, that's basically what's happening. And so,
well, she's having a hard time.
She is, and I get it. Like, she's like, oh my God, the man I love. Like, I just want him back.
Well, imagine if I was mutating and I ran away. I was like, ah! I just ran down the street.
Could you not mutate? Could you? I mean, like,
I probably just go to like the bug or something.
I know. I'm sure I could find you.
You'd just be like, well, yeah, he's here. He's right here.
Maybe
our buddy Joe would be like, yeah, he's over here playing G.I. Joe.
Probably.
Like, the game. He's like, yeah, okay. So he's like, yeah, he's not mutating, by the way.
Just try not to mutate. I mean, like, if we get dosed with like a bajillion things of radiation, who knows what'll happen?
No, maybe it'll be cool.
Maybe we'll finally get superpowers.
Is this the plan all along?
Yes, this is what's gonna happen. We're gonna have a horrible war, and then we're gonna have superpowers.
Oh, great.
So maybe it'll be worth it. I doubt it. So she's upset, and I don't know what he's doing with the fucking arm and the stretchies. He's just so annoying.
This is the thing about Fantastic Four that always, and I don't know why.
They bother me.
They do bother me, but it's also,
I like
always,
the Thing. I don't like the rest of the Fantastic
Four. I know. That's why I love Marvel 2-in-1. I can't be bothered to read any Fantastic Four books.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I'm fine just reading what the Thing is up to. Like, what is he doing today?
Like, Sue bores me.
Oh, she's
Johnny
terrible.
Storm is just like, oh, whatever, I don't care what he's doing.
He looks, you know, because I realize he's supposed to be drawn like he's on fire, but in this book he's drawn like he is covered in yarn.
You always look, yeah, that's the thing.
It's like somebody, you know, when they like yarn bomb stuff. Have you ever seen those women who like knit shit and like put it on a building. That's it looks like somebody yarn bombed him.
Yarn bombed.
Yeah, have you ever seen that? It's a thing.
I believe it.
People have yarn bombed that you know that bull on Wall Street?
Oh yeah?
Yeah. There somebody made a whole fucking yarn cozy for it and then she went out and she attached it.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't know how long that took.
But the other thing about it always bothers me. I don't know why it just the word gizmo is always used so much in like the stories because Ben's always like, "Yeah, this is gizmo," and I'm like, "Just fucking, I don't know." It just
makes me think of a gremlin.
It does. It makes me. It just.
What if he's referring to a gremlin? What if we just never see that there's a gizmo?
This is before Gremlins, so
I know. But what if this is like this is the prequel to Gremlins?
So
this is where he was before he went to live with that family.
So basically, okay. So this is what happens. So Reed shoots up like this missile up into the air. Or like this Vapo tracker, right?
Yeah, because it's like looking for Ben.
Because he could trace like Ben's scooter or something like that, right? So he shoots it up into the air. Now we get this panel though.
Oh, that panel's ridiculous.
Of him shooting this thing up into the air. Now, mind you, you know, the Fantastic Four Baxter Building is in you know New York City, and he shoots this thing up into the air, and it just somehow finds a way to loop around an incoming plane.
Yes.
You
and,
know,
and not blow it
and out not of blow the sky. It up. Which I'm like, that's Reed, not a thing. You. Ignorant asshole.
He's just an asshole. He just bothers me. I'm like,
you know what? I mean, I wish that somebody would have saw that, and then that's the would have been the end of Fantastic Four, and that like yeah, like, and
trying to shoot.
And then the Watcher was like,
jet.
And then the Fantastic Four were.
Or like, what if that's what happened? What if like he you know, did blow up a passenger jet?
And he blew up a passenger jet, and everybody, a bunch of people died horribly, and then Reed was jailed for life for mass murder.
As a terrorist.
And scientifical negligence.
Yeah.
Scientifical negligence.
Scientifical?
scientific negligence. And that's it.
Is that a thing you could be charged with? Because I'd like to be charged
well,
against
on the
people.
On Earth ass, you can. and apparently, which is where Rare Reed lives. And,
I got a few people on that list.
Yeah, so Reed's like, you know, yeah, so then Watcher's like, okay, that's it, I'm done, goodbye.
That would have been great.
No, but so they
get into their Fantastic Four plane, which is always my favorite plane.
Fantastic car.
Sure. It is a plane without a roof. It is a convertible plane.
Yeah.
Which, no.
And they also have a blind woman in there with no cover.
No, they don't even have
and
seat
no superpowers.
They have no seatbelts.
Yeah.
I'm surprised nobody dies. We have talked about this before where I was just like, shouldn't everybody in this thing be
shouldn't
dead?
Shouldn't shit be fitted like just bugs?
I mean, like all your teeth would just be... I mean, granted, if you go high enough, there are no bugs.
Yeah, but still.
But so maybe there aren't bugs, but I mean, that would be cold. Like eventually a bird's going to hit them in the face. Like it took down a plane.
Yeah.
With that Sully Sullenberger thing. Yeah. I mean, like I'd love to see a bird hit Reed Richards in the face. Like remember when Fabio got hit
yes,
in the face?
Yes,
with
I'm
the looking, seagull?
Yeah.
I would like to see that happen.
Yeah, and you know, and Lucretia Masters, like she's just, you know, just like, oh no. And I'm like, you should be like, Jesus Christ, my face, it's so cold.
Yeah, my eyes are dry right now.
My blind eyes are dry. Well, this sucks.
I'm still uncomfortable.
I'm very uncomfortable. Why did you? Why am I not covered? I am a human woman. I do not.
Why don't I have a seatbelt?
Sue has her own. Sue has her own force field she can make.
Yeah.
Johnny could just be hot.
Yeah.
And then
you're just
stretching. You could just like make yourself a skin umbrella.
Ew.
You know.
He just Stretch Armstrong.
Yeah.
I would actually really love to see two kids just like one grab one hand and one grabs the other and they just run in opposite directions.
What, Reed Richards?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great.
Wouldn't that be great?
I wish that's how he died.
What, 2 6-year-olds be like, yay!
Yes, two children just running down the street and it's like that would be the end of Reed Richards and we're just like, oh, okay.
Hyperextended him.
It's like, do we kill him yet? Great.
I think maybe this is it. Maybe I have a prejudice against stretchy
guys.
That's
actually another issue of What If. It's like, what if Reed Richards was stretched to death, drawn and quartered by 6-year-olds?
But I think I have a prejudice against stretchy guys because I don't like Elastic Man either.
Elastic Man?
Yeah.
Or Elongated Man?
Elongated Man.
What about Plastic Man?
You know what? I'm okay with him, though. And I don't know why. But maybe because he's not as creepy about it.
Yeah, he's kind of comical. But, like, you know,
him and Elongated Man probably
I was reading
try to outstretch each other. And then they could both die.
Did I read... what was I reading? Actually, it was the Animal Man that I bought yesterday. And he... there's a scene where he's, like, you know, he's talking to his wife... Because like his head's like coming into the plan, and she's like, "I thought you were in the restroom." He's like, "I am," and I'm like, "Ew!" Like, fuck you, Ralph. Gross.
Gross.
That was a gag in the Fantastic Four movie, too. Not with his head, but in the one where he, like, puts his hand out his toilet paper.
But I have not seen
that. That's a dumb movie.
Nor do I want to see that movie.
Anyway, so we cut to...
all of those movies are dumb movies.
Yeah. I've never seen the second one, though.
I've never seen any of them.
Yeah. It's dumb.
Dumb. So, we...
So now we jump to where...
We cut back to... Is the thing... No, we're just with MODOK now. Oh, no, that's right.
Okay, so Ben... So Giant Man and Captain America are... here to fuck up MODOK, and MODOK actually made a bunch of dudes kind of look like Ben Grimm, but
he made some things,
and then basically they're like, look, we gotta like find this antidote. So they're slapping everyone. You know, Captain America's like, it's a lot of like, Captain America's really great.
Yeah, oh yeah,
Lisa looks beautiful tonight, you know. Yeah, kind of a lot of that going on.
Lisa is so pretty in your dress.
Lisa's really hot tonight.
No.
So, yeah, he's beaten. Yeah, he's, pounding.
Yeah, so everybody's fighting. And as that's going on, Ben is on his little scooter, but his hands are, like, forming into club monster things.
Yeah, he's getting...
So he's like, I'm losing my dexterity. I can't pilot this thing anymore. And
I'm becoming a stump.
Yeah, and he crashes.
Crashes because he can't pilot no more.
Right, and he basically has a scene from that Star Wars.
Oh yeah, he's Anakin Skywalker coming out of the fire,
just like completely just burning. Just
who's he talking to, by the way?
Himself.
Ben has a lot of soliloquies.
Yeah, so he comes out. He's like, I'm not gonna give up. I'm not gonna do it. And he like crawls in a cave.
Yeah, he crawls in a cave, and then we're back with
all Captain America fighting.
And he's beaten. You know, they're beating dudes up, and
yeah, Captain America's doing like the splits on the shield.
Yeah, he's just landing on people with a shield. That's basically all he's doing.
He's kind of like Frogger, but like with a shield.
Yeah,
just blop.
Yeah,
blop,
blop,
blop. So they do that, but so finally, Giant Man finds one of those gun things.
Yeah. Finds a gunny.
And it takes forever. So he finally finds a gun, and no, he talks to a dude. Who works for
MODOK. He makes one of the AIM guys tell him where he can get the.
Because he's like, I'm going to rip you in half. And he's like, MODOK doesn't pay me enough.
I thought the AIM guys were yellow, but they're all like blue here.
I don't know.
It's kind of confusing.
It's a different world.
Oh, Earth-ass.
It's Earth-ass. So he's going to make this AIM guy. He's like, I'm going to rip you in half. And the AIM guy's like, no, you know. I don't get paid enough.
He's like, basically, look, tell me what does it do? And he's like, it makes
here's a gun.
Here's a medicine gun, and it temporarily makes the body immune to radiation and also stimulates cellular regeneration. And he's like,
cool.
Well, he's like, okay, well, there's a chance it could help me. Bill's like, well, it could help me.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have to get this to Ben. But he's like, but we're not going to get to Ben in time because Ben doesn't, you know.
He's like, unless I help myself, I'm not going to be able to get to Ben.
Yeah.
So,
which is actually a good point.
Which is a really good point because he's right. If he dies, it's not going to work. So he injects himself with some of the antidote. And he's like, well, there's plenty of it in this gun.
Apparently, the first time, nobody had, like a thimble of antidote.
So he shoots himself in the arm with it and he's like, cool. So eventually... We get to
eventually
Captain America.
Well, eventually Captain America's about to like, you know, he gets.
He's going to shield MODOK. Basically, he's going to jump on him. But then Giant Man like picks him up. He's like, I'm going to.
Giant
throw
Man jumps
him.
Through. Actually, I do like Giant Man jumping through the wall and grabbing MODOK's giant head.
Yeah, and he's like going to throw him. And he's like, well, MODOK says this is actually really great. He says, "Release me! The world needs my genius, my guidance. No harm must befall MODOK." All right, I won't hurt you if you let me and Captain America go without killing us. And MODOK's like, all right, that's it. That's the end of them.
I don't see, he doesn't, actually, he doesn't, we don't see him agree to it.
I assume he does because they leave. But then,
Quivering, the genetically altered genius quickly complies. Okay.
Yeah. So then we're outside.
Okay.
And,
that's how MODOK sounds in the cartoon.
But here's the thing. This is what I don't get. So we've got the gun.
Mm-hmm.
We have Giant Man.
Giant Man.
Then the next thing we cut to is everybody except Giant Man in the four car thing.
Not.
Yeah, they are.
Captain America's not there.
Well, Captain America. Oh, so Captain America's not there.
No, we're just back to where they traced Ben.
I always see, this is where I don't get this antidote thing because it doesn't seem to come into play later.
It does.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
We'll have to find out. Okay, so They find everybody in the four car finds.
Well, Jane Doe it doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't. This was completely pointless. So everybody in the four car finds Ben, or at least his scooter, which is now a smoking husk. And they're like, "Oh, we got to find him." And so Johnny Storm like flies around looking for him and gets rocks thrown at him. And he's like, "Oh, that must be Ben. They're coming from this
cave."
Because
Ben's like, "Get out of here! I'm a monster."
Yeah, and then he's like, "I can barely understand this guy, but I know it's Ben. I'll turn myself into a flaming four, and everybody will come over here because I'm a flare now." Like, he's just basically.
No, he can do that. That's what it is.
I know, but he.
You can throw things. You can make a little flamey.
I know.
He's like Diablo in. I think he write love.
Yeah.
He can make a dancing.
I'm just a dancing
woman.
Yeah. No. I'm just saying, like, he's basically the same as like the flares cops keep in their car to like tell people don't drive here because there's been an accident.
Yeah. You just lay Johnny Storm on the ground.
Yeah. There's just like a bunch of like,
he just shows up and it's like, hey, he's like, I need to take a nap. He's like, great. And they give him like a flaming pillow and he goes to sleep. He takes a man nap.
They're like, does take a man nap. Nap like a man. So they're like, oh, he's in the cave, but my Geiger counter is going crazy. There's a lot of radiation. But the blind girl is just like, I don't care. I'm going to walk into this cave. I'm going to go find myself, my man.
Well, you know what's frustrating is that she walks in.
Yeah.
And he's like, and Ben's like, I don't want you to see me like this. Like, she can't see you. You know that.
Yeah, she can't see you. I mean, I get it's like an expression. She's like, it's okay, Ben. I don't care. And this picture is weird.
Well, she's in the darkness.
I know she's in the darkness, but the way it's drawn, like, if you don't pay attention, it kind of just looks like she has big, giant, gaping holes for eyes.
No.
Instead of shadow.
She looks like Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
He's like, Alice Cooper in this picture. She's like, welcome to my nightmare. And he's like, oh, hey, Alice Cooper's here, guys. Alice Cooper's
nightmare.
Alice Cooper's here to help Ben Grimm.
Yeah, so she gets Ben, and Ben has turned into the thing. Or not the thing, the swamp thing.
He's turned into...
He's green.
He's turned into swamp thing meets Ben to the
he's
thing.
He's man thing.
He's he looks like a...
He's literally man.
He looks like a gigantic broccoli.
He does
with pants.
Look like a... Yes, and his panties still look good.
He looks like a broccoli with legs, not so much like Eon, Quasar's buddy,
space broccoli. So he comes out and he's like, "You guys got to kill me! Like I'm green and I keep mutating."
And he's very upset because he's like, "Oh, I should have lived. I deserve better."
Yeah, he's like, "I deserve better than this end." And he's like, "You know, I can feel like the heat inside of me keeps building. Like I'm gonna go, you guys." You have to put a shield around yourselves because I'm going to explode.
Like, Sue, make yourself useful.
This is it. Yeah, Sue, actually do something, will you? So she puts a shield around everybody, and he basically explodes.
Yep.
He explodes, and Alicia's staring at where he was. Of course, she's blind. She can't see him. But when the smoke, it's not smoke, light clears.
The light, yeah, the explosion clears.
The explosion dies down. She can see all of a sudden. And, oh, surprise, surprise, Ben's not dead. He's a man now.
Yeah.
He's not a rock guy. He's taking a man nap. He's a regular skin dude.
Yeah, all of his crusty broccoli body exploded.
Yeah.
And underneath was just happened to be a man.
Yeah.
Which, eat my ass story.
Yeah, so they take him back to the Fantastic. This is what I mean. He didn't need the fucking antidote because he just blew himself.
So basically what happened was...
He blew himself better.
Yeah, basically what happened was, and then like, you know, Mr. Giant Man went around and probably just like shot a bunch of other random things. He's like, hey, Captain America. And he's like, oh, that's cool.
He's like, hey, we almost died, but I guess I'm
I got this
now.
I got this antidote and nobody else is going to use it. How about I just help? I make a smoothie. probably wasted it all. Science whizzing down the drain.
Yeah, maybe he just put it with Ben's blown off broccoli and made like a really weird smoothie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's how you make it. That's how you...
He's like, this is how Jamba Juice was founded.
The origin of Jamba Juice, Virus X, and exploded Ben Grimm.
Origin of Jamba Juice.
That's how it started. So when you go to Jamba Juice next time, be like, yo, can I get the Ben Grimm? They have a picture. I want to believe that at every Jamba Juice, there's a framed picture of giant Black Goliath
yeah.
somewhere on the premises.
Yeah.
And it says,
our founder.
Our founder.
and then there's a picture of the virus.
And you're required when you walk out to hit it with your hand.
Give it like a high five.
You have to do it like your like Motley Crue and the one, I think it's like Swamp Channel videos, and they walk out just for the walking out. You see them backstage and they walk out and they're hitting their hands on all the Playboy Playmate posters that are hanging up. They're like, yeah, my ladies. You know, they walk. Yeah, no, that's right. I remember that. Yeah, so that's what you do. That's what you do.
Do they bring them with them?
No, not the ladies, but the pictures.
No, I know. Do they bring the pictures with them? And
probably,
say,
yeah.
Hang these at every venue?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it's probably on the writers. Like, I need a local Playboy. Local Playboy pictures.
Wouldn't they just bring the same ones? I don't know how bands work or writers.
Let's get Tommy Lee on the show. We can ask him.
Oh, I'm certain he would love to be on this show. Tommy Lee, A, do you like comics? B, so what's up with your dick? Is that something else we're going to ask? Because apparently that's the question you ask him now.
I mean, that's like two. Yeah, we just asked
those. Playboy Playmates.
Also,
did you bring those pictures with you?
He's like, do you want to ask?
Are they new every time?
I'm glad we spent $35,000 on this interview. I'm certain he's probably not doing. He's probably like, yeah, I'm not talking to you if I'm giving up.
I cashed out my 401k for this interview.
I asked you three questions. One of those about your dick. Good. I'm living good. Anyways, So
they're like,
yeah.
Ben's like, okay, how much time do I have before I rock monster again? I'm like, never. You're not going to do it again. You are now man. Here's the thing. Here's a question about the thing. He is a rock.
Oh yeah.
So, if he hit his arm against his leg too hard, could he cause like a spark? Cause like fire?
I don't know. I think he's got kind of like.
Or is he like not that kind of rock?
I don't think he's that kind of rock.
Sandstone?
Yeah, I feel like he's like a different kind of rock. I don't think he's a kind of.
Flinty.
I don't think he's a kind of rock that actually, you know, does anything. He's just, you know.
He's a useless rock.
He's kind of a useless rock hide. Like, it's tough. It's durable, but it's not, you know.
If he's like limestone, if he gets too wet, will he like dissolve?
I don't know. I mean, obviously like he's been sinkhole. In rain. He's fell in water before, so yeah.
So he didn't die.
Fallen in water, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so now he's a man, and now he can have fuck sex, and.
Yeah, and then he's like, oh,
and,
oh well,
yeah, and then giant man comes in, and he's like, oh, hey.
Well, no, they're like, because they're like, he's
I don't
like,
have a gun or anything. I don't have an antidote.
But I'm alive. So, well, because Ben's like, oh, what about fighting and stuff? And he's like, no, you don't have to fight no more because.
Oh, that's right. He's like, now you can't be on our team because you can't do anything fun. Not that you could before. You
no, he doesn't need to fight. He could just go on and be married with his woman who can see.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about being a rock.
Yeah.
But we'll have.
Isn't that the. You could just. We'll you could start. You, how about this? You could star in The Rock.
Yeah. We're going to have Giant Man be on our team now. Get out. Ben Grimm, we don't want to hang out with you anymore.
What if they're just like, the next panel is just them throwing all this shit out in the street, like off the top of the Baxter building.
Not a
building.
Hero anymore.
He's like, now get out. And he's like, what are you doing, Reed? You're just throwing all my shit out on the street. Like Johnny Storm's like burning all of his bed. He's like, fuck you. Get out of here.
Get out. You're not a hero anymore. We don't want to see you.
What if Ben Grimm
normie.
Was homeless?
Get out, normie.
The giant man puts a giant boot on Ben Grimm's ass. Gets real big and just throws him out onto Fifth Avenue.
He's like, you're human, but you've lost everything you ever loved. Congratulations.
Go live in Brooklyn.
It's like, no. Too many people destroyed.
And the watch is like, and then they couldn't afford rent. And then the end.
They ended up on Staten Island.
They ended up on Staten Island living next to Dee Snider. The end.
Does Dee Snider live in Staten Island?
Probably. He's probably out there yelling somewhere.
Isn't this just like a bunch of old Italians living out in Staten Island?
Yeah, yeah.
My people.
Yeah, he's hanging out. He couldn't afford the ferry.
Isn't it free? No, I don't know. I don't know.
I think the ferry is free.
I have no idea.
Well, Steven Sadak, our buddy Steven Sadak, former guest on the show, had an adventure on the ferry.
That's right.
He briefly described on the recent episode of We Hate Movies.
That's right. He went to Staten Island for God only knows what purpose.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe go see Dee Snider and Ben Grimm.
Oh, yeah. He was out there to give Ben Grimm a housewarming gift, like a rock polisher. It was an ironic housewarming
gift. He was like, yeah, because he used to be rock guy.
Jokes.
Yeah.
Ben Grimm punches everybody in the face.
And then
that's it.
Yeah, and then he's like, and then it actually, so it's funny because he, so the Watcher's like, yeah, and on this world, Bill Foster achieves the fame he never reached in your reality. But that's a tale for another day. So he's basically like, yeah, you know, Giant Man, you know, Black Goliath, you know, he kind of shit the bed here, you know, like in the normal Marvel. But in this book, he's pretty cool.
His sacrifice to try to save Ben Grimm's life actually fucked Ben Grimm.
I will say
that's basically what happened, because if he did not give him the antidote, then he would have become a person again. And now, Ben Grimm is a rock man forever.
He's still a rock man. He looks very sad in this one picture that we get to see. You know, he just
because he's a fucking rock man for the rest of eternity.
He's like, I don't get to move to Staten Island.
This is one of the rare what ifs where, like, the outcome is like, oh man, that's so much better than what actually happened. Yeah. Because usually it's like, and then everybody died.
Yeah. I am glad, though, that Black Goliath is tearing it up in this on Earth ass.
Yeah, doing
yeah. It. I'm a big fan. I like Black Goliath. There was a really awkward... I just remembering. I'll never forget this. There's an issue of West Coast Avengers where he helps out the team when, like, Moon Knight just joins or something like that. Mm-hmm. And Moon Knight makes, like, a very vaguely racist comment to him.
God.
To the point where I think, like, either Tigra or somebody else, I think, like, Mockingbird is like, dude, what the fuck? He says something like, you people.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he gets, like, but he doesn't really, I don't think he means it like that, but he says it anyways. And it's like, and I don't think Bill hears him or something like that.
No, he does. He's just so used to hearing racism, he ignores it.
And he's just like, whatever. You're crazy Batman. You're idiot Batman. You're schizophrenic Batman. Shut up.
That's just Batman.
Yeah, okay. But I'll never forget that, because I'm just like,
Batman is just, Batman.
Because like, I love West Coast Avengers. So I'm just reading through it, and all of a sudden I'm like, whoa, Moon Knight, calm down, man. Like, what's your problem?
Slow your roll, dude.
And also, Black
off the racism.
Can we just have an issue of Black Goliath just slapping you around for 30 pages? Because that would be great. Because you fucking deserve it, you idiot. Jesus. Yeah, but that's all we're going to do for
this book.
For What If number 37 from February 1983. I guess, would you want to keep reading this book?
Well, sure.
Other stories in it? Would you want to know what's going on with Beast and Silver Surfer?
Well, I mean, I'm assuming Silver Surfer just explodes.
He looks very explodey on this cover here.
He does look very explodey. And Beast, man, he's having some problems. Mm. I don't know if I agree that Beast could continue to mutate, because I'm not sure.
Well, I know what happens.
If that's how mutation works.
No, he just gets more feral, basically, is what it means. When he mutates, he gets more feral.
Yeah, but is that how mutations work in Marvel? Isn't it just, you're just born with a mutation?
Mutate is like a, I don't know if I'm saying this right. A subjective term.
Okay.
Or am I saying that right? Probably not.
Well, I mean, in the Marvel Universe, maybe it is a subjective term. Maybe it's just like, it's whatever happens.
It's whatever happens.
Like, it makes sense.
Because basically
what
happens in this story that we, you know, that we're not reading right now, but basically he gets more feral after he takes the juice that makes him hairy.
Okay. Well, that makes sense if it's the juice.
That's how I would describe
it. Okay.
Beast takes juice and gets angry.
Oh, so he just does steroids.
He does steroids.
He does steroids. Oh,
he goes
okay.
to the gym and he buys steroids from a guy. He buys steroids from a weightlifter wearing a sleeveless lab coat.
So this is just a story about how people shouldn't do steroids.
This is a story about a Road Warrior animal, a hawk. Road Warrior hawk, R.I.P. hawk.
This is just literally a story about most professional athletes.
This is actually a story about the WWE in the 80s.
Hulk Hogan, who just wanted you to, you know, take your vitamins. His vitamins were horse tranquilizer.
There's actually a little bit in here where Superstar Graham says that he once injected Hulk Hogan in the ass with a needle, but he couldn't because the scar tissue was so dense.
Ew.
That's something that Billy Graham did once.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
I'm so
Billy glad. Graham once injected Clorox on a dare, supposedly.
Ew, no, that guy would have been dead.
Well, I don't know how he's not dead.
Keith Richards. Like, some people just
I think him
die.
And Keith Richards, yeah, he's never going to die.
Sometimes you can just go hard, man, and you don't die.
Billy Graham has gone the hardest. Billy Graham has been through some shit. Billy Graham once had the worst liver in Arizona.
Was that like an official title?
I think it was. I think he won an award.
Did he get a sash?
He got a sash, and then they put it in
there. Like a crown. He went to the mall. He was like cutting a ribbon.
It was like, yay!
Liver in Arizona.
Lizard Man came in and threw some confetti. Went, argh!
At the opening of the Phoenix Mall.
We have Ronald McDonald. We have Miss Arizona. And we have the recipient of the worst liver in Arizona, Billy Graham.
Yay!
He's like, brother, you know.
Wearing a tiara. He's so proud. It's just very small tiara.
He's got a crown. He's got a crown.
Yeah.
If I ever meet Billy Graham, I'll ask him, where's your crown for winning the worst? That's awful. I am being awful, but he's still alive. So I guess
I'm assuming his liver is better now.
He's doing better. But he's always one of these guys who it's like you every so often you'll hear about like he has like really bad like stuff messed up like with his body because he did so much damage to his body.
Yeah.
And he, you know, with steroids and wrestling and everything like that, and he just keeps going.
I know.
He just keeps going.
That's the thing. Some people go fucking hard, man, and then other people, no, not so much. It's the luck of the draw.
Yeah.
It really is.
God bless you, Billy Graham.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of you when you were Kung Fu Billy Graham. I mean, Billy Graham listens to this show, by the way. Superstar Billy Graham.
I'm certain he does. He's just sitting around going like, thank God somebody finally recognized that I needed a sash and a crown.
This is for our wrestling friends out here that are like, you know, Sean and Jen now talk, you know, Jen doesn't know anything about wrestling, but
no,
Sean likes
Jen
to school.
Jen doesn't know anything about anything.
So Sean's going to talk about it.
Why is she on this show?
I don't know. You had some good.
Why does anybody ask her opinion on anything? Because obviously she is a functional moron.
You had some good insight here about Ben Grimm's broccoli body. I think we wouldn't have. I think without you on the show, we wouldn't have understood the secret behind the Jamba Juice.
Oh, I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
Sometimes I know things, but not often. I know how Jamba Juice was founded.
That was like we didn't even need Wikipedia for that. We knew it.
It's off the top of my head.
Knew that shit.
Yeah, sometimes I know stuff.
Guys, Bill Foster, Giant Man, a.k.a. Black Goliath, founded Jamba Juice. That's an alternative fact. God damn it. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm bringing in the real world here. Okay. I don't like it.
We have so far lived for over a week in the Upside Down, so it is what it is.
Sorry, listeners. I couldn't help that.
Well, I mean,
I couldn't help that one. That was an appropriate joke.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Okay. It needs to be mocked and mercilessly because fuck that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyways, we're gonna wrap up the show this week.
Dun, 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 dun. What?
What were you singing?
Isn't there there's a song, like a wrestling song that says, like, we go hard?
Oh, yeah, the Revival.
Yeah.
They go, we go hard.
Yeah, that's exactly
all day, all night.
Yes, yeah.
And then we like to fight.
All day,
and both
all
of
night.
Us are white. I don't know. I think that's how the song goes.
I am certain. That's what I was attempting to sing, but I kind of tune out after the very beginning.
Well, that's the only thing. It's kind of like the business song when it comes on. He's like, I came to play, and I'm like, what's the rest of the song?
No, there's no rest of the song.
It's like the good old days, yeah. And it's like Fred Durst like doing a rap, and you know,
sure.
Which I'm saying, Miz is gonna do an entrance, big entrance this year at the WrestleMania, which he's not, sadly. But
what, is he not gonna be in WrestleMania?
He probably will.
Oh,
he'll do something.
But he's not gonna get a Triple H.
No. He had that back when he fought John Cena or the. Cena at the in the main event. He had the big inflatable tooth thing where it was, they said, I'm awesome, but it was like they look like big teeth on stage. I'll have to show you. It's ridiculous. He had a really good video and a really good like opening, but that's all Miz is gonna get, unless if he,
well, he does wear great jackets.
Yeah, the consolation to Miz is not jackets. Crying. Miz is not sad. Miz has got a beautiful wife. He's got cats. He's got dogs.
Yeah.
He likes, I think, the chestnut lattes.
Sure.
Yeah.
He does. I mean, every time he comes out in that coat, I'm like, that's a fucking great coat.
And he's got a great coat, and he knows how to dress.
Yes, he does. And I'm just like,
he does not.
The Miz always looks good.
He is. Miz always looks good. He's not like Roman Reigns wearing a zip-up hoodie underneath a hood coat, whatever, or whatever.
A fleece
underneath the...
underneath a suit jacket? No. To go on television?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. No, the Miz would never do that.
Miz knows better. Miz is on point. Miz is on point with his clothes. Yeah, anyways, so this is it for the show. We'll be back next week with another book. Thank you for listening. If you want to join us on the internet, you can email the show at worstcollectionever@gmail.com. You can also find us on social media. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Angry Hero Sean, as well as Instagram is Angry Hero Sean, SHAWN. And my Tumblr is theangryhero.tumblr.com.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram, jenstansfield.tumblr.com. And jenstansfield.wordpress.com, where I have to find another show to review.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's going to be yet.
It's going to happen soon.
I got to figure it out.
Yeah.
Meh.
So, and also, if you're on the iTunes and or anywhere you listen to the show, please rate us. If you can rate and give us 5 stars, give us the highest rating possible. If you want to leave a review, please leave a review and just tell people about the show. Tell 2 friends. That's what the Sklars say. Tell 2 friends.
Yeah.
If you listen to the show, tell 2 friends, tell them they just check this out, download it, rate, review, and enjoy. And we will be back next week with another book. And thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.